afternoon, sir. What is your name, sir?
Good afternoon. Walter Breen.
Mr. Walter Breen. Okay, the other Breen. Okay, the other Breen. Okay, the other one, David Neal, will conduct your hearing at this time, so just hang on to the phone, sir.
Okay.
All right, sir, would you state your full name and ABC number for the record, please?
Walter B. Breen, the third, 158-109.
Thanks, sir. You're going for the letter of the executive clemency this afternoon in reference to your committee supervision revocation. I will introduce the board members who will conduct your hearing at this time. On the screen to your far left is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Then we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who's our board chairman. And then to the right is the Honorable Lee Canonis. And my name is David Neal. I'll be your hearing lead today. Also with us, we have the Honorable Mr. Brady from the Department of Corrections. He'll also represent the parole office today. So prior to this hearing, sir, you received a notification form advising you of the hearing. Do you remember that form?
Yes, I do.
Okay, on that form, you were advised to notify of your right to appear and speak on your own behalf or obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense. Did you hire an attorney or were you representing yourself today?
Representing myself, sir.
Okay, I'm going to swear you and Mr. Brady in at this time. So you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, I do.
I do.
Okay, your hearing will be conducted in two phases, sir. In phase one, we will determine if the terms and conditions of the community supervision have been violated. If they've been violated, in phase two, we will determine whether community supervision should be revoked or reinstated. So for phase one, what I'm going to do is I'm going to read the one allegation that's on your warrant, and after I do so, I'm going to ask you if it's true or false. Well, allegation number one is a violation of relevant conditional supervision number three as demonstrated by your act of changing your place of residence at Deep Within, 11773 North 91st Avenue, Peoria, Arizona, on or about January 16, 2019. About the prior approval of your assigned parole officer. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were absconded from supervision. Is that true or false, sir?
That is true.
Okay, so based on the admissions of Mr. Green, I'm going to move to find that he was delinquent as he violated terms and conditions of the supervision and that he may have lapsed or not the lapse in the criminal areas for the company.
Second.
Agreed. Agreed. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Canonis, agreed by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. Okay, sir, we're going to move into phase two in a moment, but before we do, Mr. Brady's going to give us some background information, so stay there on the phone, and I'll get right back with you. Mr. Brady.
Mr. Green was released from DOC on January 2nd of 2019. He was arrested on February 20th of 2019 for a fugitive apprehension unit. He has no known charges. He was returned back to DOC on February 20th of 2019. He has a CSED October 7th of 2019 that reflects 35 of crime days. Current conviction, 2017, theft of means of transportation, 3 years. Prior convictions, 2001, danger drug violation, 2 years, 6 months. 2006, criminal damage, 1 year, 9 months. 2006, burglary, third degree, 4 years, 6 months. 2013, misconduct involving weapons, 4 years. He has 4 terms of the DLC. His CUIR scores are 2-3, mental health scores are 3, substance abuse score is a 3. He has no gang affiliation. Prior term of supervision, 2003, TIS release, absconded for 11 days, arrested in CSED while in custody. 2010, TIS release, absconded for 40 days, arrested and then revoked by the BOC. 2016, released on an optional discharge. Disciplinary violations are moderate with drugs and violence noted. You have community risk score of a G6V8.
Thanks, sir. So, Mr. Green, we're going to go over a summary of the case supervision.
This case is from 2005.
Pardon me?
This case that I'm in here on is from 2005 or 2004. I've been on probation, probation, and probation.
I see. So, okay. Sounds like you've had some difficulties.
Yes, I have. So, can I speak or no?
Pardon me?
Can I speak right now, or do you...
Okay, in a minute, you'll have an opportunity, sir.
Okay.
We're going to go to supervision summary. So it shows your residence was deep within in Peoria. So where did you go? You were standing for 35 days. Where did you go?
I went home to my father's, who was suffering from heart condition. I actually went to Traditions at first, which was 2349 West Vista.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, after that, I went to deep within recovery and got into it within there. And when I went to Traditions, I'm going to back up a little bit. So in June 20th of 2016, I had every intention of doing good. I got out on IPS probation. 11 days later, my sister committed suicide. My probation officer at the time was inquiring about my sister. They sat on her house, they brought my sister. She went to jail for a few days, and my dad got her out of jail. She came home, went to court, came home from court, left, made a big pot roast dinner, came back that night, and was asking me to take her to go see her mother, who's in a care home. I'm like, Mother, no, I can't. I'm on IPS. It's scheduled for me to go Saturday from 9 to 11. She's begging me, Wally, please, take me to go see Mom before I go. I'm not doing it, Audra. So the next morning, as directed on my IPS schedule, I'm going to go to Fry's grocery shopping, as directed, from 9 to 11. And I go to my dad, light up a cigarette, smoke, you know, have a cigarette, drink a cup of coffee. Hey, Dad, I'm going to go to Fry's. You need anything? He's like, yeah, grab those coupons over there. Oh, by the way, go see if your sister wants anything. So I go knock on her door, no answer. Go back in his room. Dad, I'm going to crack the door open. And went to her bedroom door, knocked on the door. Audra, you up? No answer. So I grabbed my DOC identification card, and I jimmied the door open, and there she was, hanging from her ceiling fan. Had housecoat ropes tied around her neck, hanging there. Okay, it put me in a mental state of deep depression. Best friend of mine from elementary, junior high, and high school, a week later, she committed suicide. Which, mind you, if I would have known 2429 West Vista was 7 blocks from our elementary school one way, and then our high school the other way, and the house I grew up in for 20 years, I wouldn't have picked that halfway house. Upon arrival at that halfway house, there's a girl there that works there that overheard me talking about my sister and my dad and the company, and she came around the corner, and she's like, hey, is your sister's name Audra? Audra Green? I'm like, yeah. She's like, yeah, I know your sister very well. She helped me out a lot. She's like, I'm sorry for your loss. I can't imagine what you're going through. I'm like, yeah, I know, I live with it every day. You know, so with that being right there in the little neighborhood where I grew up with, it was real hard to even be in that neighborhood. And then, you know, going through the house chores of having to, you know, clean your fans. You know, there's not a day that I don't go that passes I don't see my sister hanging there begging to go see her mom. You know, my dad, you know, the day I got out, matter of fact, I went to down there to 801. My new condition was not to have no contact with my father. By telephone call, email, text message or anything. I'm like, how can this be? I said, can I please talk to the supervisor? Oh, he's not available right now. You know, which kind of like, put me kind of like in a state of mind of like, what? Why won't they want me to be with my family after what I went through, you know? Prior to being released at North Union, I took a substance abuse class, 6 months that, you know, I did myself, which is a big stepping stone for me. Ms. Franz, Suzanne Franz is her name, and I wish I would have known if I could have got a contact with her. She vouched for, I was a very good student. You know, I participated in everything I was supposed to do. I had one tardiness in 6 months. you know, it's real hard for me to deal with going to that traditions and putting myself in that neighborhood. You know, when I got discharged, 3 days later, I went to Community Bridges out by my house and did an assessment, went in there and told them, look, hey, I need help. I'm going down a road that I don't want to go down. I need grief counseling and I need substance abuse counseling. And I was on 11719. You know, I didn't want to scam, I didn't want to, you know, come back to this. You know, I have all the tools I need to do it, let alone, like, after my sister committed suicide, I went to the state capitol, obtained a business license for a company, subcontractor. Her and I were going to start a business out at Lake Pleasant called A&W Waterworks during the summertime. We own a couple of pontoon boats and jet skis. It just got really overwhelming. I fell in a deep state of depression.
Okay, so I don't know really where to go from there, but since you've been back in, have you tried to give me any mental health evaluation for treatment out here, sir?
Within the last 20 days, no, I haven't. I've gone to a couple of NA meetings and that was it. And when I went back, like, so when I got, when I bought my IPS in 16 and seeing the judge in 17, mental health probation was available to me, and she very, you know, made a very, she's all, you are aware that I don't have to, you know, grant you this mental health probation, but considering what you went through and the losses, you know, and at the very last minute, my lawyer, Mark Adair, I said, you know what, go ask my dad what I should do. And he went and asked my dad, and my dad came back and he said, you know what, with the state of mind you're in, just go back and do your time. I mean, I had, you know, right after, I was still out there with my sister committing suicide.
Okay, well, so, I mean, it sounds to me like you need to get some, you know, some, like you say, some grief counseling and stuff like that. And the first step would be to, while you're inside, and see if you have asked them to give you a mental health evaluation. And hopefully they would be able to, you know, tell you what kind of treatment you need and maybe even start you on something.
Okay. And that's when, like, when I got out, when, you know, I got discharged from traditions, you know, my IPS officer told me to go get grief counseling, and so that was then. And you know, I was just very rebellious at the time, and you know, I didn't listen.
Well,
I was high on drugs.
Okay, but what I'm getting at is that you know, you've been reincarcerated, and you know, you obviously need some counseling, and you know that.
Right.
So that guy's,
you know, I know.
So you haven't asked for any since you've been in there, right?
No, not this time. Last time I did. Well, you know,
okay. Well, look, I mean, but this is this time, not last time. This is this time.
Right.
Okay.
6 months isn't very long here, you know. Yeah.
Right, so
you know, psych pills when I was in last time, but I didn't like them.
Okay. So this time when you were out, did you have any employment?
Yes, I did.
Okay, and let's see here. It says that
MRC.
Well, it said that you were assigned to task, but you only had one UA. Where it says you did, you provided one UA, but it doesn't say whether it was positive or negative. So I'm going to make a leap of faith that it was negative. I would imagine if it was positive, it would be written in bold letters. So I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. No questions? All right, so we're nearing the end of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion, making their determination shortly. But before we do, we'd like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. If there's anything else you'd like to tell the board, now would be the time to do it. We just ask that you don't repeat the information that we've already covered.
Okay, I did contact my PO, and this is after I kind of scouted, and I said, hey, Mr. Miller, I'd like to come in the morning and talk to you. And he said, you're about a week too late. I turned in your warrant. I was like, there was no, you know, going to MRC or taking, you know, something more more like of a structure than being at this halfway house where people were dealing dope, and, you know, it's not a good structure for me whatsoever. You know, my job was located right out there next to MRC, out there next to Deer Valley Air Park. I asked them, I'll go to MRC, you know, do the classes, go to work, come back, be locked down, participate in all the classes you got. He said, no, just go turn yourself into jail.
Okay. Well, looking at the dates, it looks like we had, that it was about 2 weeks after after you left deep with her, or, you know, that this situation occurred. But it was about 2 weeks before the warrant was issued. And once the warrant's issued, it's a little tough to
set it stone, right?
To, you know, to set it right. But it was another month before you were arrested by the fugitive apprehension team, and during that month you could have reported in, and if they didn't wash the warrant, they would at least gotten it over with. So
right, I didn't know how to go about it.
Okay, well,
in terms, I mean, I had
you
know.
Okay. All right. Well. Okay, well, thank you, sir. The board will be doing a discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. We'll be just be discussing the case. We're asking to stay on the phone, but remain silent. And once we've made a determination, I'll get back with you, okay?
Okay,
thank you. The board is now in discussion. The situation with Mr. Newman is definitely a very unfortunate situation. I can just imagine how much of a mental shock it is to go through what he went through, and I understand that. It sounds like this time when he was released, he started down the right path, got off of it real quick, and then he stayed down for over a month, and with the abscond time, I don't see a good candidate for return to community supervision at this time, but I'm willing to listen to any discussion from my fellow board members. Any discussion? Okay, so based on our information, number 2019-W0201, Mr. Green's testimony and information from the Department of Corrections. I'm going to revoke community supervision of Mr. Green as it was delinquent, violating term condition of supervision, and had lapses, about to lapse in criminal ways or country.
Second.
Agreed.
The motion by myself, second by Mr. Canonis, agreed by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson. Okay, sir, the board has voted to revoke your community supervision at this time. According to the papers we have, you're scheduled to be released on October 7th of 2019. I would suggest that you try to get a mental health evaluation between now and then and see if they can get a path started for you for the right type of counseling and everything so that you can be successful when you get out. I understand the issues with grief. Everybody grieves differently, and it's not an easy process to get through. But if you can get a mental health evaluation right with her, get some counseling started, hopefully, and make yourself a really good plan. It sounds like you do have a good plan for starting your own business, and we wish you a tremendous amount of success. Well, this is the end of your hearing, sir, and if you could put the CO3 back on the phone, please.